Saraswati Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. And today we are reading Text 21.
Vidyate hridaya granthis,
chidyante sarva samshaya,
shiyante chasya karmani, drishta evatmanishvare,
vidyate, pierced, hridaya, heart, granthi, knots, chidyante, cut to pieces, sarva, all, samshaya, misgiving, kshiyante, terminated, cha, and, asya, his, karmani, chain of fruitive activities, drishte, having seen, eva, certainly, atmani, unto the self, Ishvare, dominating. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since the purport is quite wrong, we'll just read the last paragraph of the purport. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges a living entity to become identified with matter. As soon as this knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruitive action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruitive work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. Translation once again. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all the misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtham Thapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Angulam Gayate Virim Yatripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So, these list of verses, which is ending today with 21 and beginning with 16. So, verses 16 to 21 have actually been grouped together by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as a bunch of verses. So, verse 16 begins with Sushrusho Shaddhadhanasya, that verse, and ending with today's verse. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that these bunch of verses are actually the stages or the progressions of bhakti or the stages of spiritual development in an aspirant devotee's life. In fact, in his commentary to today's verse, to the verse 21, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has actually composed a verse wherein he has summarized these 14 stages or 14 progressions of devotional life of a devotee. So, these 14 stages, like ending with today's verse in which it says, Vidyate Hridaya Granthis, and beginning with Sushrusho Shraddha Dhanasya, We'll give a summary of these 14 stages which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has spoken about in the commentary of today's verse. So the first stage which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is talking about is known as Satam Kripa. Satam Kripa means the mercy of the devotee. And this has been mentioned in verse 16 in Sushrusha Shaddadanasyam. The second stage in the progression of bhakti of a devotee's life is Mahat Seva. Mahat Seva means service to devotees, and this word appears in that verse, Shushrusha Shaddadanasya. Again, it's from verse 16. And then he develops Shraddha, which is faith in the process of devotional service, which is again appearing in the 16th verse. Once he has developed that Shraddha, the devotee comes to the next stage of progression in his spiritual life, which is Guru Padashraya, that is seeking the shelter of the lotus feet of a devotee, which is again there in verse 16. After that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that once he has taken Guru Padashraya, the next stage in devotional service is Bhajaneshu Spriha. That means eagerness to worship Lord Krishna. And then he mentions the next stage, the sixth stage in the devotional progression is Bhakti or devotional service itself. The seventh stage is Anartha Pagama, which means disappearance of obstacles. And this is there in verse 18. We say Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Abhadra means the Anartha. So Anartha Pagama, the disappearance of obstacles, is mentioned as a progression in the stage of bhakti in verse 18 by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. After that, a devotee comes to Nishtha. So the next progress he mentions is Tatha Nishtha. So then he comes to the stage of steadiness, which is again mentioned in verse 18. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, in that verse it's mentioned. The ninth stage in the devotional progression is Ruchi or taste. So these 14 stages, actually, if we see, they are in line with the nine stages of bhakti, which have also been given in the Nectar of Devotion. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has elaborated them much more and given us a much more prolific explanation. So the tenth stage is after Ruchi, which is the ninth stage. The tenth stage is Asakti or firm attachment, which is mentioned in the 19th verse, which we did 2 days ago. After Asakti, the 11th stage in the progression of bhakti is Rati or fondness, which is mentioned in the 20th verse, which was discussed yesterday. And the next stage is Prema, which is devotional love. So after Rati, the devotee comes to the stage of Prema, devotional love. After that, the 13th stage is Atha Darshanam. Then he gets the vision or direct experience of Lord Krishna, which is there in 20th verse as well as today's verse, this stage. And the 14th stage or the final stage, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, is Harer Madhurya Anubhava. So direct experience of the Lord's sweetness. This is the 14th or the final stage. This is how the progression of bhakti culminates, when one has direct experience of the Lord's sweetness. And this stage is, again, going back to verse 20. This stage, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, is mentioned in verse 20. So we'll go through these 14 stages a little bit in detail, and we'll discuss more about today's verse. What is the progression, or what is the stage in today's verse? So Mahat Seva, which is mentioned in 16th verse, Shushrusho Shaddadhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi, in that verse, Mahat Seva is mentioned. So the opportunity to serve the Mahatmas or the saintly persons actually comes only because of their causeless mercy. And therefore Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that this is the second stage of bhakti. The first stage of bhakti therefore is Satam Kripa, that is the mercy of devotee. Unless and until one has the mercy of a devotee, or he has obtained the causeless mercy of a devotee, he will not get the opportunity to serve the devotees. And therefore this stage is mentioned at the first stage, and Mahat Seva is mentioned as the second stage by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Then we come to the third stage, which is Shraddha. So by serving these devotees, by getting their mercy, that is Satam Kripa and Mahat Seva, by serving these devotees, Shraddha or faith is developed in the heart of a devotee. And this faith is in the process of devotional service, in the devotees as well as in the Lord. So by getting the causeless mercy of the devotee, a devotee serves the devotees, he gets an opportunity to render some devotional service. And after he has done that, he comes to the stage of Shraddha. There is some faith which erupts in his heart. The fourth stage, which is seeking shelter of the lotus feet of a guru, that means guru padashraya. So the word mentioned in the 16th verse, tirtha, there is a word which is mentioned in the 16th verse. The 16th verse is Shushrusha Shaddadhanasya Vasudeva Katharuji Syan Mahat Sevaya. As we mentioned, Mahat Sevaya Vipraha Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. So Tirtha Prabhupada translates in the word to word translation as those who are cleansed of all vice. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one more translation or one more meaning of the word Tirtha is actually Guru. So once a person has obtained some satam tripa and he has rendered some service to devotees, which is mahat seva, and then some shraddha or some faith has developed in him, he comes to the fourth stage. He seeks the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And then the devotee comes to the fifth stage, which is eagerness to worship Krishna, or which is also known as bhajaneshu sriha. So this is mentioned as by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as in the 16th verse, he says that Shushusha Shadda Dhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Shyan Mahatseva Vetraya Punya Tirtha Vinishevanat. So he says that this also means developing eagerness to serve the Lord. Not only serve the devotees, but also developing eagerness to serve the Lord. And we will see this example of these first five stages in the life of Narad Muni. Now that pastime will come up. It's coming up in a few chapters in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narad Muni was actually the son of a maid servant in his previous lifetime. And his mother, they used to live in an ashram in a forest, and his mother was responsible for cleaning the ashram and doing menial services to any sages or any devotees who used to come there during the Chaturmasya period. Like in the olden days, during Chaturmasya period, the devotees wouldn't travel or the sages wouldn't travel from one place to another. They would stay stationary in one place and they would do their bhajan. So Narad Muni used to assist his mother in doing all these services to these great devotees. And once four devotees had come to his ashram, his mother's ashram, and Narad Muni rendered so much devotional service to them. He used to clean their house, he used to clean the place where they used to eat prasad, he used to also serve them prasad. So he served them in so many different ways, and he also used to sit and hear whenever the sages are doing some Hari Katha or Krishna Katha, he used to sit and hear. And once, by their permission, he took their remnants. So it is mentioned in those purports by Srila Prabhupada that by serving these devotees, which is Mahat Seva, obtaining their mercy, that is Satam Kripa, and by eating their remnants, Narad Muni developed the desire to worship the Lord. And then his mother dies at the age of 5, and then he keeps progress. He doesn't take it as a sort of setback, but he keeps traveling around and he keeps progressing in his spiritual path. So, but it started with the first four stages, which is Satam Kripa Mahat Seva. So it started with that stage and Shraddha, because of which Shraddha developed in him. So these stages are actually, we see a live example in Narad Muni. And in the next stage, after the fifth stage is over, the eagerness to worship Krishna. But to get the eagerness to worship Krishna, one has to be clear, the abhadra in the heart have to be cleared off to come to the next stage, which is bhakti or devotional service. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur again mentions that these abhadras or the misgivings, as mentioned in this verse also, they are actually an obstacle to the path of devotional life. And they create unsteadiness in the life of a devotee, unsteadiness in devotional service. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in the second shower of Madhurya Kadambani that there are six anarthas in the heart of a devotee which can cause unsteadiness in devotional life. And we'll just mention these six anarthas. So the first anartha which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions is Utsahamayi. So Utsahamayi means a devotee has initial enthusiasm, which indicates pride. So this is not to be misunderstood with the enthusiasm which is mentioned in Nectar of Instruction. No, this is the initial enthusiasm which a neophyte devotee has. What it means, and it indicates pride in the devotee, it means that the devotee has just come, has just started on the path of Krishna consciousness. He has just started doing some activities of devotional life, and he starts getting pride. He feels that he has become expert in that activity, and nobody else knows that activity like to do like him. And out of that pride, he is very enthusiastic to do various things or various services in devotional life. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is an actually an anartha which needs to be cleared by the devotee, because this enthusiasm is, the platform of this enthusiasm is pride. Then the second anartha which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in the Madhurya Kadambini is Ghanatarala. Ghanatarala means moving unsteadily between diligence and negligence. So one day a devotee chants, a neophyte devotee chants his round, the other day he doesn't chant his round. One day he does some devotional service, the other day he doesn't do his devotional service. So one day a devotee is very diligent, very careful in executing the process of devotional service. But the other day he is negligent because his heart is still, his mind is still unsteady. It is moving, it is vacillating between diligence and negligence. So this is the second anartha which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions. The third anartha which can put an obstacle to the progress of devotional service is Vyudha Vikalpa. So Vyudha Vikalpa means flickering determination. And flickering determination means, oh, should I become a brahmachari or should I become a grahastha? Should I take up this job or should I not take up this job? Or will this be good for my spiritual life or will that not be good for my spiritual life? So they are continuously flickering. Their determination is not steady yet. And what these devotees will do is, because their determination is not steady, they usually offer quotations from the shastras to support whatever choice they have made. They have said, no, Krishna says over here, so they will sort of twist the shastras to suit their decisions. And this is actually an anartha, which is mentioned as Vyudha Vikalpa by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The fourth anartha which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions is Vishaya Sangara. So Vishaya Sangara means an ongoing struggle with sense pleasure. And I'm sure many of us can identify with this, especially I can identify with this anartha. So Vishaya Sangara means there is a constant struggle. There are the desire for sense gratification from the heart has not gone away completely. And there is constant struggle. Oh, I want to, the senses are pulling towards different sense objects. And the mind is saying, yes, go and enjoy this, go and enjoy that. So there is an ongoing struggle with Vishayas or with enjoying the objects of the senses. So that such devotees' practice is intermittent. They will do one day, then next day they would have gone to do some sense enjoyment. Then next day again they will not do sense enjoyment and they will do devotional service. So their practice is quite intermittent because they are forced by their own nature, their own conditioned nature, which has got conditioned over millions of lifetimes for different sense pleasures. So they are forced by their own conditioned nature to enjoy what they renounced earlier. So one day they would have renounced. If some devotee had a habit of listening to some movie, some Hollywood songs or some Bollywood songs. So one day they will renounce that. The next day that determination has gone away. And they are again going towards, next day they would start listening the songs. Then again they would renounce it, again they would take it up. And this anartha is mentioned as Vishaya Sangara by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The next anartha, the fifth anartha mentioned in the Madhurya Kadambini is Niyamakshama. So Niyamakshama means inability to improve devotional practices. So despite, we see that a devotee when he is progressing in his spiritual life, he has all good intentions. The desire is there in the heart that I want to improve my spiritual life. But what happens is that he is not able to improve. And this anartha follows the earlier anartha. So it's because he has Vishaya Sangara, he has still attachment to objects of the senses or still attachment to sense gratification. Also because he is Vyudha Vikalpa, his determination is still flickering. So because of the previous four anarthas, he is not able to take that niyama or he is not able to become determined to in order to progress in his devotional life. So this inability shows up in the devotee to improve all the devotional practices. And he has good intentions, but the anarthas are keeping them down. They are not allowing him to progress. And the last anartha which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions is Taranga Rangini. Taranga Rangini means delighting in the material facilities which bhakti produces. So sometimes we see that bhakti, because a devotee has come in spiritual life, and as it is said, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaridi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So whether they are full of material desires, still they come to worship the Supreme Lord. And sometimes the Lord is so merciful that He grants their desires for sense gratification. He grants their material desires. And because of that, whatever desires are produced in whatever facilities they get, because of the Lord granting their desires, the devotee gets attracted to enjoy these byproducts of bhakti, as we say. And that anartha is called as Taranga Rangini. So
So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that it is very important that these anarthas in the heart, which are mentioned in the Madhurya Kadambani, are slowly cleared off by the devotee in order to progress further in the stages of his devotional service. So in order to progress further, like it is mentioned in verse 18, Vidayantasi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suratsatam. So in order to clear up these abhadras, the devotee needs to work hard to clear up the anarthas which are mentioned here. So the sixth stage, once the devotee has started sort of clearing up, and in the seventh stage also again it will come up, the anartha pagamam, the sixth stage is bhakti. So he starts doing devotional service to the Lord. It is not that he, you know, totally gives up because of these anarthas, but he starts doing the devotional service to the Lord. And the seventh stage is the anartha pagamam, the disappearance of obstacles. And in this stage, when the devotee comes to this stage of bhakti, which is mentioned in verse 18, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, so this also includes nama aparads, not only these six anarthas which are mentioned in the Madhurya Kandamani, but also the nama aparads or offenses to the holy name of the Lord. So even these slowly start getting cleared in the progression of bhakti from the devotee's heart. And once the anarthas have been cleared, Prabhupada mentions in one of the lectures I was hearing from about Prabhupada on these verses, he mentions that once 75% of the aparads or 75% of the anarthas are cleared from the heart, the devotee reaches the stage of nishtha, which is the eighth stage of bhakti. And then steadiness comes in the devotional service of the devotee's life, which is mentioned again in verse 18. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati neshthiki. Neshthiki means nishtha. So in the 18th verse, after the anarthas have cleared, and I remember Karunanidhi Prabhu was explaining this verse on Sunday, and somebody asked him this question. Said, what does prayeshu mean? Prayeshu means almost cleared. So Prabhupada explains this, that once the even 75% of the anarthas in a devotee's heart are cleared, then he can reach the stage of steadiness or nishtha in his bhakti. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further notes in text 19, which is Tada Ramas Rajas Tamo Bhava, it contains two stages in the progression of bhakti. The ninth stage, which is ruchi, and the tenth stage, which is asakti. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in the ruchi, when a devotee achieves this or comes to this ruchi stage, his heart is usually not pierced by sense object because he has developed a distaste, or it is also called as aruchya. He has developed a distaste for sense objects. Aruchya is the opposite of ruchi or ruchya. So he has developed a distaste for sense objects, and he has developed, parallelly he has also developed ruchi or ruchya for devotional service for the Lord. So this stage he achieves in the 19th verse, which talks about how the modes of passion and effects of mode and of passion and ignorance go away, and a devotee gets established in goodness. And then the 10th stage is asakti. So once a devotee has achieved firm attachment or ruchi or higher taste for devotional service, he comes to the stage of firm attachment. And this is mentioned in verse 19 with the words sthitam sattve prasiddhati. So sthitam sattve prasiddhati. So this sthitam, sthitam means, you know, the Sanskrit word sthita means fixed. So this sthitam means he has become fixed in his devotional service, from which sprouts the term asakti or firm fondness or attachment to the Lord. And to conclude, the last four stages, so we discussed till 10th stage where the devotee has reached to the asakti stage, and the last four stages of bhakti are found in verses 20 and 21. 21, which is today's verse as well. So the 11th stage is known as rati, which means fondness. And it is indicated by the verse in the verse 20 by evam prasanna manaso. So verse 20 was evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So evam prasanna manaso, prasanna means a devotee's mind is very satisfied, because he has already achieved the stage of asakti. He has firm attachment to the Lord. So his mind is very satisfied, or his mind is very enlivened by the process of devotional service, and therefore he develops fondness in his mind for the Lord and the devotional service. So this is the 11th stage, which is known as rati. And once a devotee has achieved this rati stage, he comes to the 12th stage of bhakti, which is prema or love. And it is mentioned that bhagavad bhakti yogataha in verse 20. So So engaging in devotion, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha, engaging in devotion to Bhagavad or Bhagwan, that is called as prema. It is defined as devotional love by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And these two stages are achieved by a devotee in verse 20. And when we come to the 13th stage of devotional service, which is Atha Darshanam and Harer Madhurya Anubhava. So this 13th and 14th stage are mentioned in today's verse, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So in today's verse it is said, and Atha Darshanam as well. So the vision or audience of the Lord, a person gets the direct vision or experience of the Lord. And that stage is achieved when a devotee has realization. So in verse 20 also we see that it is mentioned that Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Vijnanam means a devotee has obtained realization of the Lord. And because he has obtained realization, he gets direct experience of the Lord. And in the 14th verse, Harer Madhurya Anubhava, he gets direct experience of the sweetness of the Lord. So these last two stages of experiencing the Lord or realizing, directly realizing the Lord are possible. Because Prabhupada says that today's verse actually indicates total liberation from material life. Because all the knot of material life has been cut in the heart and all the misgivings have gone away and the chain of fruitive activities have been terminated. So Prabhupada says that this indicates that a devotee has reached the stage of total liberation from material bondage. And because a devotee has reached this stage, that is why it is possible for him to experience the 13th and the 14th stage in the progression of devotional life, which is directly experiencing the Lord and directly experiencing His sweetness. So Prabhupada explains that liberation is possible. Why this verse is talking about total liberation, or why Prabhupada and the Acharyas mentioned that this verse indicates total liberation, is because the knot in the heart is pierced. And what is this knot? Vidyate Ridaya Granthim. The knot in the heart, granthi means knot. So our material life has actually begun by this granthim or this knot. And Prabhupada mentions in the last paragraph of the purport that this knot is the knot of false ego or ahankara. And this is the knot which is binding a devotee to the material world. The false ahankara or the false ego or the ahankara is the knot in the heart of a devotee which binds him to the material world and keeps him entangled in the material world life after life. So that this knot of misidentification with false ego is the root cause of our coming also into this material world. It is mentioned that this false ego is actually the glue which binds the spirit soul to the material body. And once this knot of ahankara is pierced, or once this glue is dissolved or it is removed, then the bondage between the body and the soul goes away. And the spirit soul is free from the bondage of the body. And that is why this verse indicates total liberation. So the soul is liberated. Because the soul had this ahankara or this false ego, the knot of false ego, that I am the supreme enjoyer, everything is meant for my enjoyment. He got a material body and this false ego glued him to the material body and brought him down to this material world. So a similar verse today's verse, verse 21, is also found in the 12th canto, 4th chapter, verse 34. Where it says that when illusory false ego that binds the soul has been cut with the sword of discriminating knowledge and one has developed realization of Lord Achyuta, this is ultimate annihilation of material existence. So it is very similar to this verse, that when the illusory knot of false ego is cut and one has realized Lord Achyuta, then it is complete annihilation of material existence or complete liberation. And Jiva Goswami explains this state. He says that when the soul sees and experiences the Lord, stage which was stage 13, where the devotee is getting direct experience of the Lord, that is known as liberation. Jiva Goswami also mentions. It means that although, it's not that the soul has already left the body, it means that although the soul is still in the body, he is not, there is no false ego, it is not gluing him, or it is not making him falsely identify with this material body. And therefore, he is able to see his original spiritual self or his original identity. Like it says in the translation also, that the chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as the master. So because this knot of false ego, which is binding the body to the soul, which is binding the soul to the body, has been cut off by the devotee, he is able to see his own true identity as the spirit soul, and he is also able to see the Lord and have direct experience of the Lord, and which is the liberated stage of life. But Prabhupada mentions, even in Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, the whole chapter about the banyan tree, the reflection of the banyan tree, Prabhupada mentions that it is actually very difficult to cut off this knot of material existence, or to cut off this knot of false ego, which is binding the soul to the body. It is very difficult to end this chain of fruitive activities, Prabhupada mentions in the first verse of the 15th chapter. But Prabhupada says in that verse, or in that purport, that one can cut off this knot only with the sword of knowledge, which has been sharpened by devotional service. So actually there are two type of people who cannot cut this knot. The first type of people are those who are materialists. They are so engrossed in the chain of fruitive activities, or they are so attached to this knot, they are so much engrossed that they don't have any desire to cut off this knot. So in this banyan, in the example of the banyan tree, which is given in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that they are so engrossed in enjoying the fruits of the banyan tree, or the fruit, their own actions of fruitive activities, that they just want to go from one branch to the another. That means they go from one body to the another, enjoying or continuing their chain of fruitive activities. Because they don't have the sword of knowledge, they don't have the desire, they don't have the knowledge that I have to get out of this material world. This actually, whatever I'm enjoying is actually temporary. It is not a permanent solution to whatever I'm facing, whatever miseries I'm facing. So little bit enjoyment they get, they are totally engrossed in that enjoyment, and they absolutely have no desire to cut off this knot. And Prabhupada mentions in his lecture, when I was hearing a lecture on this verse, he says that the biggest manifestation of this knot of false ego or ahankara is the knot of sex desire. And he says that the attraction between the opposite sexes, the attraction of a man to a woman and of a woman to a man, creates a knot in the heart, and that keeps a person bound birth after birth to this material world. In fact, even Rishabhdev explains to his sons in his teachings in the 5th canto. He says, Pumsas Triya Mithuni Bhavam Etam Tayor Mito Hridaya Granthim Ahu. Again, the word Hridaya Granthim, like this verse, has appeared in Rishabhdev's instructions to his sons. So he says that Pumsas Triya Mithuni Bhavam Etam, that when a Pumsa, when a man is attracted to a Sri, a woman, and a woman is attracted to a man, because, and that attraction is based on sex desire, it creates a tight knot in the heart of that man and woman. And that tight knot of sex desire is extremely difficult to overcome. And because that knot is there, the attraction to the man and to the opposite sex is there, it keeps extending. Once that knot has formed, then it will extend to children, then it will extend to home, my children, my home, my society, my country. So that knot keeps on becoming tighter and tighter, and one is not able to give up that knot. And the materialists we mentioned before, they actually don't have any desire even to give up the knot. And there is an example in the Vedas given of Janak Maharaj. Now Janak Maharaj was the father of Sita Mata. And Janak Maharaj was actually one of the 12 Mahajans. So there was one small boy called Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra means a person who is bent in 8 places. He used to go and sometimes, because he was a very good philosopher, so he used to sometimes go and talk to Janak Maharaj. So once he wanted to establish a point about how to get self-realized to Janak Maharaj, so Ashtavakra actually goes and embraces a tree in the courtyard of Janak Maharaj. And then he starts screaming, "Leave me, leave me, leave me." So Janak Maharaj goes and tells Ashtavakra, he says that you are actually holding the tree. Why are you screaming, "Leave me, leave me"? And then Ashtavakra explains that this is how we all are in the material world. We are actually holding on to things which we want to enjoy. We are actually holding on to this material existence. And then we are saying, oh, this Maya is so difficult to overcome. How can I overcome? How can I cut off this knot? So this is the first type of people who cannot cut off this knot, because they don't have any desire. They are themselves holding on to this material life, and there is no desire in the heart to come out of this material existence. And the second type of people who are not able to cut off this knot of false ego or ahankara, or this knot of false material existence, are actually the jnanis. They have other dry speculators. These people have actually the sword of knowledge. So they have enough knowledge that this material world is a miserable place to live in. There is no enjoyment at all in this material world. They have this knowledge that whatever enjoyment is even there in the material world is temporary, and it is not going to give any happiness. So they are actually, they have come to the stage because of their pursuit of knowledge. They have come to the stage that this material world is useless and I should not sit here and enjoy. I should tyag or I should give up or be detached from this material world. And in the banyan tree example in Bhagavad Gita, also it is mentioned, so they don't want to do anything with this banyan tree of material existence or the perverted, the banyan tree is actually a perverted reflection of the original tree which is there in the spiritual world. So these jnanis or dry speculators don't want anything to do with this material existence, but still they are not able to cut off the knot. And this is because their sword is not sharp with devotional service. They don't know or they don't have knowledge of the real banyan tree in the spiritual world. That means they don't have knowledge of the real pleasure which is there in the spiritual world by participating in the pastimes of the Lord. So actually they don't want to do anything with any banyan tree. They say, oh no, I don't, like we see the Mayavadis. They don't want to enjoy the material world, but they also don't want to get attached to the spiritual world. So they are detached from the material world. If you offer a flower to the Mayavadi, they say, no, I don't want to smell it because this is sense gratification. But when we tell them that, no, this has been offered to the Lord, but still they are not able to appreciate that point. So these are the second type of people who cannot cut off this knot of false ego. They have the knowledge that the material world is temporary. They have the knowledge that any enjoyment here is not absolute. It is not going to stay forever. They have the knowledge that I should be detached, and they are actually detached from this material existence. But still they are not able to cut off the knot, simply because they are still not attached to the spiritual world. They are still not attached to the pastimes of the Lord or to seeing the Lord. So these are the two type of people who cannot cut off this knot. And Prabhupada mentions that in order to come out of this material existence, two both the things have to be done parallelly. One has to endeavor to cut off the knot, that is, one has to endeavor to give up their anarthas. But parallelly, one also has to endeavor to develop their Krishna consciousness or to make the sword sharp, like Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, the purport to the 15th chapter, first verse. He says that the sword of knowledge should be sharpened by devotional service. So a devotee, a person must aspire to keep on sharpening this sword by rendering devotional service, which the jnanis or the dry speculators miss that point. So Prabhupada gives the example that it is similar to a diabetic patient. So doctor gives him medicine to come out of diabetes, but the doctor also prescribes a diet for this person. So it is not that the person just takes the medicine, which is Krishna consciousness, but continues an unrestricted diet. So he continues all his anarthas, or he continues all his sense gratification. Then there will not be much progress in his devotional life. He has to follow a regulated diet along with the medicine. He has to do his devotional service, but parallelly he has to lead a regulated life. He must endeavor to give up all these anarthas. So there is a story which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions in this regard, that once there was a marriage party, and this marriage party was, once the marriage was over, the bride and the bridegroom wanted to go to the opposite side of the river. They had to cross the river in order to reach the husband's house, like how the girl goes after marriage to the husband's house. So the whole marriage party, it was night and they all sat in the boat, and the boatman kept rowing the boat the whole night. And in the morning, they thought they are going towards their house. They are making progress on the river and they will reach their house. But in the morning, when the marriage party woke up and saw, they saw that they were still on the same side of the shore of the river. They had not gone anywhere. The boat just kept going round and round. And they were wondering, what happened? What happened? Why didn't we go to the other side of the river? And Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj explains that this is because they had forgotten to take the anchor out of the boat. So our devotional life is similar. If the anchor is firmly rooted in the ground, if we are too much attached to sense gratification, and if we are too much attached to this material existence, but we keep trying, we keep rowing, like the boatman was rowing this boat of the marriage party. He kept rowing, he kept taking efforts, but the efforts did not give him much results because the anchor or the attachment to material life was still strongly there inside the shore of the river. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj explains this point to reiterate that both the things are required. You give up your sense gratification and parallelly you develop your Krishna consciousness or you sharpen the sword of devotional life. But Srila Prabhupada explains that of course, like we do endeavor to give up our anarthas or we do endeavor to give up our sense gratification. But Prabhupada explains further that if a devotee is very serious and sincere in trying to give up these anarthas, Because sometimes we see that, you know, the anarthas are like insurmountable mountain on top of us. We give up one anartha and suddenly another anartha sprouts up. We feel we have already dealt with one conditioning which we had, we already gave it up. But suddenly some other anartha or some other attachment comes up. So, but still a devotee keeps sincerely trying. And Prabhupada says that when Krishna sees a devotee sincerely trying to remove these anarthas, he helps him. He takes charge of the devotee's spiritual life. And what Krishna does is he takes charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee with the torch of knowledge. As he mentions in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter 11th verse as well, that he illuminates the heart of a devotee who is completely engaged in his devotional service. He gives them the knowledge by which they can come to him. And by that illuminating torch, he clears up all the anarthas in the heart of his devotee. And I was reading Gurijan Prabhu's book, Unveiling His Lotus Feet, for this verse. And in that book, Gurijan Prabhu mentions that thus, when the Lord personally takes charge of a devotee's life, of a devotee who's sincerely striving to give up these anarthas and sincerely striving to progress through the different stages of bhakti, then the Lord personally appears and he completely removes all the anarthas from the heart of the devotee. So that means any disqualifications which a devotee had are completely shredded. So like it says in this work, Kshiyante, in today's verse. So Kshiyante means completely destroyed or completely removed. And this is only by the Lord's desire, that even Gurijan Prabhu mentions that only by the Lord's desire, seeing the sincerity and seriousness of his devotee, that even the slightest trace of misgivings no longer remain in the heart of the devotee. And this is as opposed to the Nashta Prayeshu verse. We see that Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, there Sukadeva Goswami mentions that almost removed, the anarthas are almost removed from the heart, Prayeshu. But here the word Shriyanti is mentioned, that means Lord takes charge of the devotee's heart and he completely destroys whatever misgivings are there in the heart. And because the Lord has taken charge of illuminating the devotee's heart and completely destroying his anarthas based on his sincerity and seriousness, and that is why the chain of fruitive activities a devotee is able to cut off, and he achieves the stage of liberation where this knot which is binding the material the body to the soul to the material body, this knot is removed and the devotee is able to have direct experience of the Lord, which is the 13th and 14th stage which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions. So we'll end over here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments or corrections.
Mother, I have one question. Jadabharat was in Bhava stage, so where do you put him in the classification book?
Lots of many acharyas have commented on that pastime of the Lord. That
Krishna took a bath. You said 13 stages.
Yes.
So how stage are you here? How? So the best condition in that platform.
There is Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Rati, and Prema. I think what is meant by Rati is Bhava, fondness. That is the stage. But even at Bhava stage, it is said that there might be some anarthas in the heart. And acharyas have explained that in the past life or in any lifetime, if he would have committed some offense and that was not cleared up, if the devotee didn't take efforts to clear up those slight trace of comment or slight trace of reaction to any aparad which was left, then such a stage can come in a devotee's life, like Jadbharat stage. But of course we understand that that is a pastime of the Lord to teach all of us how we have to be careful in our devotional service. This has been translated in the purport, sorry, in the translation, in the word-to-word translation. It says, Drishta evat manishvare. So, Drishta means having seen, eva certainly, atmani unto the self, and ishvare means dominating. So, what I understand, I was thinking about this thing, that how can we see ourselves as master, but what I understood from this translation and what Prabhupada has explained in the purport, is that the knot which is there in the heart, which I was talking about, the knot of false ego or ahankara, When this knot is there in the heart, a person actually sees his body as the master. So he does everything for his body, and the body is dominating, like it says, no, Atmani Ishware, dominating. So the body is actually dominating all the activities of the person, because the knot, that false ego, the glue is there, which is binding the soul to the body. But as soon as that knot is pierced, and that glue or the misgiving of false ego is removed from the heart, then the devotee is able to experience that the soul is actually the dominating presence and not the body. So he comes to the realization that it is the soul which is ultimate. He realizes his true identity as the spirit soul, which should be the dominating factor, and whatever activities he should do should be for the soul and not for the body. That is how I understood this sentence. So what is your question, Ravi? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
I'm just trying to summarize, like, if we are the master, it means that we get to start choosing. So, like, what's another word? What's master mean in life?
Master means, like I was explaining to Mataji, that we come to realize our true identity as the spirit soul. So we don't allow our bodily demands to dominate us, but we actually allow the demands of the soul to dominate our actions. And if we see the true identity of the soul is Jivera Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. So the true identity of the spirit soul is that he is actually Lord Krishna's eternal servant. And when we say that the soul is the master, that means he does the activities which are demanded by the soul. And the soul's activities are to give pleasure to Krishna. That is the only work or only activity which the soul actually has to do. So when we say the exercise of free will, you are right that the Lord has given free will to everyone. But when we exercise our free will, so that means, are we acting still on the bodily concept of life, or actually we are acting through the true needs of the soul, whether we are fulfilling the desire of the soul to actually serve the Lord, which is the true identity of the soul. So that is where the free will we exercise, and that is how we make the soul as the master of the activities and not the body as the master.
So that's why I found an onion when you smell a flower offering to you, but he would honor it because he just knows that he tries to smell it, he doesn't have much spirit. But in my advice, they just give up on the argument too. The Brahmani might give up on that movement and say they could help on Monday, he could offer that immensely, but still doesn't do it. But in my advice, just can't even assume that it's like. So they're not even master, even though they're just practicing.
That's what the Mayavadis do. They reject everything. Like, there was a photo which...
They reject the Brahmanas, the actual Brahmanas.
The actual Brahmanas?
Yeah, it's like, you know, someone who just wants to merge into...
No, there is a difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. Mayavadis actually want to become God. Like, they think they are God, but Brahmavadis are actually aware that there is a light or there is an effulgence, and they actually have reverence for that effulgence. So they don't think they are God. So Brahmavadis is actually a bona fide stage in a devotee's this thing. So, but the Mayavadis reject, like, there is a photo of Prabhupada, there was a photo which was shown to Prabhupada where a Mayavadi is rejecting money, me saying, I don't have anything to do with money. And Prabhupada says that, take a photo of me with, you know, my hands all around the money, because I will use it in Krishna's service. So that was the difference between a devotee and a person who has a dry speculator, who knows that it's useless, but he doesn't know how to use it in the service of the Lord. Prabhuji, from here, how it is given is that, from what I understood is that one sees the self as the master. So my realization was that because the person is still in the bodily concept of life, till the knot is there in the heart, then he continues to satisfy the demands of the body. The body is the master actually. And he continues, because the knot is there, he continues on that misidentification of false ego, that I am the enjoyer. But then when that knot is cut off, then he sees his true identity as the spirit soul. And that is how he serves the spirit soul's demands to satisfy the Lord. That is how I understood Prabhupada.
Here's another. Prabhupada mentions that one is the master of one's destiny. The chain of fruited reactions is cut when one decides to serve Krishna. So one's the master of one's destiny. Good Prabhupada says here, in material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruited work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions in life after life. So that's his choice. He's the master of staying in the material world. But then Prabhupada says, but as soon as he engages himself in the love and service of the Lord, he once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. So in that sense, we're the master of our destiny by choosing to serve Krishna. When we choose to serve Krishna, then our fruitive reactions are dissolved by the process of devotional service.
Thank you so much for me.
And also, of course, the Prabhupada also mentions in the purport that the devotee sees Krishna as the master. So he becomes his servant. We don't like the idea of being the master because we like to think of ourselves as being servant. But if Krishna is the controller and we're part and parcel of Krishna, he's the supreme controller, but we must also have some
controlling.
Little ability to control. And so that's what we control. We have the choice of either serving Krishna or
starving Maya.
Yeah. How's that sound?
Yeah. Good Prabhupada. Thank you so much. Anything else?
Who's doing the removal of ignorance? The devotee or Krishna?
Who is the?
Who's removing the ignorance, the devotee or Krishna?
So you are asking me.
I am asking you. Krishna.
Ultimately, everything is done by Krishna, as we know. But my understanding is that a devotee cannot sit, the Damodar pastime also we see there are two fingers. There is the mercy factor and there is the endeavor factor. So. The devotee has to endeavor from his side to give up, to rise above the mode of ignorance. But when Krishna sees that the devotee is so sincerely endeavoring or so sincerely working hard to come out of his lower modes of nature, then Krishna also helps. That is my understanding.
Like
that Krishna removes the ignorance with the torch of transcendental knowledge. But of course, in the previous verse, Krishna says, to those who are constantly engaged in devotional service, and I give them the understanding of others, they can come to me. So it requires our
effort of engaging in the devotional service as well. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.